What's up? Nathan Zagura alongside Sir Andrew Gribble. We're back. It's Mock Draft Live. Gribbs, I've missed you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and we're still 20 days away. So a long ways away from the mock draft, but from the real draft. I've gotten so into mock drafts that I think that we're going to get to a mock draft. But it's mock draft time because we're 20 days away from the draft.
Absolutely, and we'll see a lot of evolution as we go through these mock drafts in just a little bit. And remember, you can ask us questions all show long. Just get them in there, and we will answer them live as they come in. And, you know, it's interesting. I was gone. I was on my little vacation, and I thought by leaving I would will the Jimmy Garoppolo trade to happen, Gribbs. That was in my first mock that there was a Garoppolo trade. Not in my second mock. I've given up on it. The dream is dead.
I would say since the season has ended, this has been the quietest week regarding Jimmy Garoppolo and the Browns, probably the entire year of 2017. So I think barring some crazy surprise, the Browns are going to be going for a quarterback that is probably in this draft because I feel like a free agent probably would have happened by now.
And we'll see where they show up as you, I, and Mr. Max all have a quarterback being drafted by the Browns. So let's just get right into it. We'll start off with pick number one here for the Browns. And as you'll see, there's a little bit of what we like to call a consensus. And we know the Browns want to be collaborative and have consensus when they make their picks. Well, this is a consensus, folks. That's what we call that there. Myles Garrett, and I was talking to Dane Brugler today again, and he reiterated one more time that, look, this draft really starts at pick number two. It's a no-brainer to go with Garrett at one.
Yeah, the only discussion I can come up with is how many previous drafts would this guy have been the consensus number one pick in? Because this is a year that we've talked about light on quarterbacks. That's the only situation where he probably would have emerged as not the number one pick. Because I think the way he's been talked about, I think if him and Clowney were on the same draft, it would probably be Myles Garrett. Because I think there were some injury concerns that just simply aren't there for Myles Garrett. He's aced every portion of the pre-draft process while coming into the pre-draft process as the consensus number one pick. So he's only further solidified it. And it's just, it's almost zapped a little bit of intrigue and excitement out of the number one pick. But, again, the Browns haven't confirmed this. They're not going to confirm this until the start of the draft. So it's something that's not going to be concrete until Thursday the 27th.
Yes, and there have been articles speculating on the options for the Browns at number one. But I think, really, they're going to stay there. They're going to take Myles Garrett unless somebody comes with an offer that, frankly, they can't refuse. But you wouldn't expect that kind of an offer to be made for a non-quarterback.
Right. I mean, teams love Myles Garrett. I think that there's a reason why this guy's the consensus number one pick. Everyone is agreeing upon it, but it's not one where you're going to mortgage your franchise to move up for a pass rusher. It's just a good place to be in with the number one pick, and you can grab this guy without having to give up anything.
All right, so Myles Garrett at number one. That seems to be the consensus here in the building from us. It also seems to be the consensus outside of the building amongst all draft experts. You really don't see a mock draft that has anything other now than Myles Garrett to the Browns at number one. Now, there are questions, and as we said, speaking of questions, you can ask us your questions here, and we'll get to them. But there are questions at number 12 about what is going to happen at that pick. And as you see from us here, we have three different answers to the question of who the Browns pick at number 12. I'm going O.J. Howard. I think that you get a dynamic guy on defense in Garrett, and then you want to get a playmaker. You want to be able to affect the quarterback, but then when you have the ball, you need to score. And O.J. Howard is as good a tight end prospect as maybe we've had ever in the National Football League.
And I agree with you, and that's the reason why I don't think he's going to be there at number 12.
I think
there's
possible.
There's a couple threats to the Browns with O.J. Howard, and I think it starts as early as number 4 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've moved on from Julius Thomas. And then number 6 with the New York Jets, and even number 10 with the Buffalo Bills. There's three teams that could use a tight end like him, and he, like Myles Garrett, has aced the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
Done everything right, healthy. I think that he's answered the questions about potentially underachieving at the college level. I think everyone's kind of just conveniently blamed Lane Kiffin for that. They've moved forward, and he's in all likelihood going to be the first tight end taken in the draft.
All right, now you have Jonathan Allen, and I would say same. Maybe he's not there at number 12.
Oh, I mean, I think I'm making a few random things happen for him to be there at number 12, but the reason he would be there at number 12 is the concern about the shoulder injury. This guy was labeled as a potential threat to Myles Garrett at number one. Now that's almost completely come out of the conversation. And then now I'm just looking at teams trying to fill needs and him just kind of sliding through the process because it looks like the 49ers are leaning Solomon Thomas. That would have been maybe my number one team to pick Jonathan Allen after the Browns. So maybe he just slides through the cracks and falls down the passing league. People want DBs that can shut down wide receivers. I am hoping this happens, and I think if Jonathan Allen is there at number 12, he cleared your medical checks on him it being a concern during his playing career, I would think there'd be no hesitation because he not only is a great player, but I think he fills a need for the Browns as well.
And that's one heck of a front four you'd imagine with Garrett, with Allen, with Shelton, and with Emmanuel Ogba, all guys picked in the top 32 in the NFL draft, which would be pretty impressive up front. Now we've got Patrick Max over here going. Apparently the message boards got to him, because last time we did this, he had Trubisky at number one to the Browns, but he's backed off of that. He's come back down to earth, and he's saying here at number 12, that's where the Browns get their quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's what I had in my last one. I have Trubisky going 13 to the Cardinals after that. I think he probably will be the first quarterback taken in this draft. I just think there might be a situation where there's a couple players, both of these guys probably included, where you got to get those guys instead of the quarterback, because they're just such talented players at that spot at 12.
Absolutely. Well, questions are coming in now. Keep them coming. First is, what are the pros and cons of Mitch Trubisky? And I'd say probably the pros are that you can see him do the things that Andy Dalton did well in the Hugh Jackson offense. Make quick reads, get rid of the football. He's accurate in the short and intermediate game. He's a better athlete than I think people give him credit of the principles in the NFL, despite playing and starting only one season at North Carolina.
Yeah, I think he just had a really good year. I mean, he played well against some of their toughest competition. Florida State, he had a monster game. I think it maybe tapered off a little bit as the season went on. Had a really kind of a lousy game when the weather wasn't really in his best favor. You really can't blame him for that. Made a couple questionable decisions in the bowl game. I just think it's the small sample size. There aren't many good examples of a sample size this small translating to a high draft pick. I think Cam Newton is the one exception. He was a freak. I think people understood he was going to be a top pick. But almost every quarterback that goes in the first round has at least two seasons under their belt.
So let's go into the cons. And we said the pros, and there are a lot of pros. The cons would be, as you talked about, limited experience. He doesn't do anything at a dominant level. Doesn't have the best arm in this draft class. I'd say from a talent standpoint, probably doesn't have the most upside of anybody in this draft class. And I think mechanically, he still needs some work with his lower body. Often will be open or leaning back when he throws the football, which can cause some accuracy issues, especially on his deep balls. But there's a lot to like about him, a lot to work with. And I think a lot of people now think that either he or Mahomes will likely be the first quarterbacks off the board. Patrick Max pulls the trigger there at number 12.
I do think of the quarterbacks in this draft, I think if you're looking for a guy that's going to start day one for you, even though he has the least amount of experience, I think he is the most ready to start for you day one. I'm disagreeing with Merrill Hodge on that one. I know he was very against that.
He was.
But I think he has the traits and kind of has shown the skills that makes him less of a project than maybe some of these other guys.
All right, so the next question is, do you think we would trade up from number 12? And I'm just going to kind of lay out a scenario we talked about earlier today on Cleveland Browns Daily. At number 12, on the offensive side, I think you have three real options, and that would be O.J. Howard, who we have here, Corey Davis, the wide receiver from Western Michigan that's had kind of a lot of linking to the Browns of late, and then also Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of Clemson. Defensively, you have your guy Jonathan Allen, you have Jamal Adams, you have Malik Hooker. Now, I don't know if any of those six will make it, but I'm pretty sure at least one of them will. And so the question becomes, are the Browns okay with any of those guys, or do you think they might try to move up to number 5 or number, because a lot of people seem to think that that's a spot the Titans wouldn't mind moving back from to get another asset. Maybe you move up to number 5, and then you could probably take a Malik Hooker. You could take an Adams. You could take an O.J. Howard, or maybe it's to move up for your quarterback.
That's why I think it's enticing at 12 to either trade up or trade back, because I agree with you that I think one of the six that you mentioned will be there, but I don't think two will. And you got to make the decision. Are you fine settling with the one of the six guys that falls to that spot? And that's a tough thing to tackle, and that's why if you're going to trade up, you got to be going into that with that plan right now. You have to start thinking that mentality right now, and you kind of have to guess what the 49ers and the Bears and the Jaguars are going to do. And I think that's the issue, especially if you're looking at the safeties. I could see those safeties going anywhere at 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
I think all those teams could use safety. So it's a tough thing to know. I kind of agree with you with where you're going about the trade-up, maybe later in the draft, but I wouldn't rule it out, especially if you really do like one of the safeties. I think those are the only two guys you maybe trade up for in this draft, because that's a position of need for the Browns, and these are two special safeties. To even get talked about in the top 10 as a safety is rare. The fact that we're talking about two of these guys going in the top 5 shows just how good they are.
Absolutely, and you know, the interesting thing, though, it is a deep safety draft, and it is a deep tight end draft, so you wonder if you do have to move up for one of those guys, but if you think they're transcendent players, maybe the Browns do just that. Now, as we roll through here, all of a sudden, things get a little interesting. So coming out of the first two picks, I've got Garrett and O.J. Howard. You've got Garrett and Jonathan Allen. And Patrick Max has Garrett and Mitch Trubisky.
I got clicker issues here.
You got clicker issues?
Trying to figure it out.
All right. Don't worry about it. We got a green ring there. We're going to be okay. But so one of the things that kind of I've started to talk about on CBD, and I really have for over a month now, is that I think it's possible with the way that people are looking at these quarterbacks that they're getting pushed down. In fact, Daniel Jeremiah's most recent mock draft, no quarterback comes off the board until the Houston Texans at pick 25. So if that's the case, I could see the Browns moving back into the end of the first round, making three first-round picks when it's all said and done, and snagging their quarterback there, who I think at that point could be Mitch Trubisky, but I think you got to get ahead of the Houston Texans.
It's just a tough decision because you don't know when to make your move. I think that's the issue when it comes to trading back into the first round because you're at risk, thank you, of maybe going too early to get your guy or waiting too long and you completely lose out on the guy you wanted. So that's tough. You're going 24 just because of the order of the draft. I mean, you're not worried about a team like
Cardinals passing on a quarterback at 13. Right. So, yeah, obviously if they take quarterback at 13, then that changes the dynamic if there's one guy you want. But in my scenario here, Trubisky, all the quarterbacks are on the board. The Browns trade in. Pick 52, give up the second-round pick that you also got in the Brock Osweiler trade. Plus, you probably throw in maybe a fifth or a sixth in this year's draft. And on all the trade charts, that does it for you. That gets you there back into the first round. Then you get your quarterback. So you'll end up this draft with four of the top 33 picks in this draft. As you'll see, you get your quarterback, you get your edge rusher, and then you get a dynamic pass catcher for him in O.J. Howard.
I got to ask you, why are the Raiders making the steal?
So this is the reason that I kind of pegged the Raiders. Number one, it happens they're in front of the Houston Texans. Number two, they're a team that's going to have some salary cap issues going forward. They've got to sign Derek Carr to a big deal. It's probably going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL after this season. They've got Khalil Mack's extension that's coming up. So they might be a team that says, look, it might be better for us to get three young players, two of which are second rounders, spread that out, and that will allow us to maybe part ways with a veteran who's eating up a lot of salary cap space as they try to figure it out, especially because it's a cornerback heavy draft. And Sean Smith's on the books over $8 million for them. So that's a way that they can move on from him at the end of this year and know they have a succession plan right in place.
Yeah. Well, I like this scenario. I just wonder if this is maybe one of your plans, you got to have a backup plan.
So absolutely. I'm wondering you need a partner.
I'm wondering.
So it seems to me if the quarterbacks all are at this spot, there doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz on DeShone Kizer, who I happen to like the best of all the quarterbacks. I take him at pick number 33, and I'm happy as a clam.
It'll keep us watching after 12 because I think that's the interesting thing with the Browns. I think they make their pick at 12. You don't turn off the draft. I think we've seen it over the years. The Vikings made that move for Teddy Bridgewater. The Browns have done it in the past to get back in the end of the first round. This is why you have those assets to give yourself the flexibility in what is a very good draft.
And I wonder if at pick number 12, if one of the guys, let's say the Browns aren't okay with the one of the six. And they maybe aren't in love with the quarterback at that spot. Maybe they move from 12 back in the middle of the first round, pick up something else that turns into a wide receiver down the line or a tight end in the second round and try to get maybe another second round pick in this draft and still have the two first and end up getting a quarterback there. So I think once you get past Garrett, I think it's going to be very interesting what happens in the top first 10 picks, how that affects who's on the board for the Browns. Do they jump there? Do they jump up or do they jump back? Do they jump back in? I think it's going to be, if you're a Browns fan, I think it's going to be a very animated draft day with a lot of opportunity to move forward and backwards.
I think that carries over to day two as well.
Absolutely.
There's definitely a lot of movement. That 52, the number 52 pick, you acquired it last year for moving down the first round, gives you a lot of flexibility. It seems like it'd almost be surprising at this point if you make that pick at 52 because you have a lot of wiggle room either way because of it.
And let me say one last thing maybe it isn't the Raiders, but let's say you want to get back in the first round and maybe it's just moving from 33 to 32 so that you get a fifth-year option on a quarterback if you decide to take one. I think that's possible for the Browns as well. Keep those questions coming. So right now where we are here, I've got three picks in the bag already. I've got Garrett, I've got Howard, I've got Trubisky. You've got two. Let's roll ahead to pick number 33 now where you solve the quarterback problem.
Listen, I'm on a limb here with Davis Webb.
Because in your draft, right, Mahomes and Kizer are available.
Yeah, I've only got two quarterbacks going in the first round. That would be Trubisky at 13, and maybe this is even a surprise. I've got Deshaun Watson going 32nd to the New Orleans Saints. I think they really like Watson. I think Sean Payton, I think he thinks he can get a lot of Watson in the future. Drew Brees only has a couple more years. They have two first-round picks, so they can maybe make a future pick with that pick. That's why I think Watson goes there. I just think Webb is ascending. I think he worked well with the Browns at the Senior Bowl, and I think that he has a big arm, a lot of potential. He's a confident guy. Big quarterback, 6'4". There's no question about it. He's above 6'2". I just think he's got a lot of pieces to work with. And when you pick him at 33, you have high expectations for him. Doesn't necessarily have to start right away, but you can get him in that mold and get him ready. He's confident enough where he thinks he'll come in and start right away, though.
And listen, you were down there in Mobile where the Browns had him. He was MVP of the Senior Bowl and put on a good show. And I think he's a guy whose stock is on the rise. And again, I think the way these quarterbacks shake out this year, it is going to be very interesting to see. Now, for me, I turn my attention to the defensive backfield at this point because I know that's a big need for the Cleveland Browns. I take Chidobe Awuzie, and he is a guy out of Colorado. He can play some nickel for you. He can play free safety. A scout today in Matt Miller's NFL draft notebook compared him to the Honey Badger. And so as a four-year starter, he can blitz off the edge. A good physical guy, but a great cover guy. Those Colorado guys can really cover, and I think he's a good fit for what we need to do. And then Patrick over here said, all right, I got my quarterback already. Let's go get him a weapon. Evan Engram, a guy who is kind of a tight end, wide receiver hybrid, ran a blazing 4.4. You also saw him down the Senior Bowl, impressed a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a very good player, and I think the best comparison for him is Jordan Reed because he looks so much like a wide receiver that some even think he's a wide receiver, but it's just interesting because I think he's a super talented playmaker. I wonder, I guess I question this because I just want to know this. Why is he not a first-round pick? Because I think he has game-changing potential, but I guess
there's some buzz on him that he will be.
But there's maybe some concerns about the size because he's not your prototypical put-on-the-line tight end that can block for you about 15, 20 plays.
No, I think he's a guy that needs to go to an offense where he can play kind of some flexed-out big slot or split out tight end, like a Jordan Reed plays for the Washington Redskins, and get that value out of him. So I want to ask you, so through yours now, you got two guys on the defensive line, you get your quarterback. Are you looking at 52 then? Are you looking for an offensive playmaker, or are you looking for a defensive back, a safety, which is still a big
need? I think I'm either looking at safety or wide receiver. Whatever one ranks best on your board, I think someone like a Cooper Kupp could be potentially available
Zay
at
Jones.
52. Zay Jones probably is going to be gone, I think, by 52. But there's the guys like Josh Jones, the safety out of North Carolina State. Maybe Obi Melifonwu falls to 52. I mean, he was a combine superstar, but there might be concerns about just how good of a football player he is. I think that so there you could get a good player at either one of those positions. I think a corner could be available at 52 as well. So I'm going defensive back or wide receiver with that 52nd pick.
And I think when you look at it, the biggest needs for the Browns, obviously, you've got quarterback. Always will be the biggest need until it isn't. I think that they could use a playmaker, whether a pass catcher, whether it's a tight end or wide receiver, maybe even both. And then defensively, Garrett's going to solidify you up front, rushing the passer, and then you just need help on the back end. I think you're looking to get a safety or two in this draft and probably another corner because Joe Hayden right now is your number one, Jamar Taylor's your number two, Brian Body Calhoun's your number three. It would be nice to give some competition in that room and give, you know, Brian Body Calhoun had a great rookie year, but that's an undrafted free agent. And listen, that's not to say he can't be successful. You know, Malcolm Butler has been very successful, but you probably want to add somebody to that room that can bring kind of an early round pedigree.
So does that mean if you want to add someone to the room this year at 52, are you not taking Sidney Jones if he's still available?
I would. I'd be fine with that because if you look at where this team is, you're looking to build to compete, I think, seriously in 2018. I think there's no question the Browns are going to be better this year, adding the kind of talent we're talking about. But you can wait a year for a guy like Sidney Jones, who would have been a first-round pick had he not suffered that Achilles injury at his pro day.
And there's speculation now that he won't be there at 52, that he's going to be maybe the Jalen Smith of this year's draft where he's gone in the second round, even though he's not going to play.
And the good news compared to an injury like that, this is not a catastrophic injury where you have to worry, will he ever get back? He'll get back from this.
Yeah, it's an interesting draft because you see Marshon Lattimore up top and you see Gerrion Conley, two Ohio State corners, and then you're not seeing many other corners in the first round. And I think a lot of the reason for that is because it's such a deep class of corners that teams think they can get really talented players in the second, third, and fourth round.
Yeah, well, you're seeing Dane Brugler in his draft guide, which is just out. We had him on the show today. He's got 11 corners, counting Sidney Jones, that have first or second round grades this year. 11. So it is a very deep class, but sometimes you do see Tre'Davious White go in the first round. Sometimes Adoree Jackson's there. Sometimes Awuzie and Matt Miller's mock draft today goes 19th to the Buccaneers. So there is kind of a lot of movement, but the good news is there are good corners. And a guy like Tease Tabor, who I think in probably the first time we went through these and did the expert mock drafts, was going to the Browns at 12 a ton. Now he goes out, he runs a 4.7. They're sliding out of the first round, but a lot of people think he still is a first-round talent. So I think it's a very deep position. I think the Browns have an opportunity to get significantly better at those spots, corner and safety, in this draft with all of their picks. And, you know, one thing we haven't really talked about, pick 65 is a nice early pick in this draft as well. That's a spot where they could go there. And then there's another name that's out there, Joe Mixon. And we heard the Haslam talk about him at the owners' meeting, say people deserve a second chance, and it seems that he's on the board. And a lot of people think he'd be the number one running back in this draft and a top 10 pick if he didn't have that off-field stuff.
Yeah, Mel Kiper actually projected him as the 33rd pick to the Browns, which I would think might be a reach.
I think it's a little early.
I think that's a little early, but I think you make maybe go with someone that you have. The 33rd pick should either probably be traded or it should be used on someone you have a first-round grade on. I think there's no in-between on that. I do wonder if Mixon is the guy that you want to start the day off with on day two. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think if he falls to you at 65, that's the risk reward, and you're saying, okay, this seems to make a lot of sense for us there. We're asked, what are the opportunities for trades? I think pick 33 will be one because I think there's going to be a lot of guys left with first-round grades on various boards that people are going to want to be able to come get their guy. I know the Browns fielded a lot of calls last year, but they wanted Agba, and they got Agba. I think 52, they can move up or down from 52 depending on how the draft flows. And I still think there's a chance they may try to get back into the second round, as I said earlier, into the first round, and try to get maybe six picks in the first two rounds this year.
Yeah, and I think the 12 is a spot too. I wouldn't rule it out. I think of the top five picks in the 65, I go – the number one pick is the least likely that you're going to trade out of. And then from there, I think ascending that way, it becomes more and more likely.
It certainly is going to be interesting to watch. There are limited tickets left to actually enjoy all of this with us at the Muni lot, which I think is going to be pretty cool for the Browns' official draft party. We'll stay with you for another minute or so. Get your questions in if you want to get them. And we'll look at some of the expert mock drafts. Why don't we do that? Very good. Miles Garrett, consensus, right? Yeah. McShay, like me, Garrett, O.J. Howard. I don't see Deshaun Watson at 12. Don't see it happening.
Kuiper's been hitting that one over and over again.
Patrick was hitting it today.
Yeah, I think it's just been every quarterback has been linked to the Browns in some way, shape, or form. I think I can pull up reports for all five of those main guys linked to the Browns in some way, shape, or form. Kuiper's going with Watson. He's not alone. I would say Watson and Trubisky probably the most commonly linked quarterbacks to the Browns right now.
All right, so those are the ESPN guys. Daniel Jeremiah at NFL.com, Miles Garrett, and Corey Davis. And again, this is one of the things that's been building a lot of steam lately. Supposedly it was reported that he had a two-day visit here with the Browns and that the Browns are very much into him. Matt Miller in his scouting notebook today saying he talked to a Browns scout, which surprised me, and Browns scout said, we love Corey Davis and there's a good chance we take him at number 12 if we don't trade out of that pick, which I thought was also an interesting little sidebar there. But the Browns like him. He could come in, I think, and play the slot with Britt and Coleman on the outside right away and be a very productive player. They say he's kind of like Michael Thomas, who was the most successful rookie receiver last year, but more athletic, better speed, better polished receiver.
Great production. There's a good track record. I mean, the MAC produces a lot of players that don't pan out, but they seem to have these top wide receivers kind of emerge every so often. Antonio Brown, Greg Jennings are two very good wide receivers.
He will be the first MAC receiver since Randy Moss to be taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Charlie Casserly, Miles Garrett, and O.J. Howard with a beautiful sun behind us, which we don't have here right now, as you know that it is snowing in Berea, but I like that. I was fine with that. I was good with that. It made me feel good and made me feel warm. But I think you're seeing O.J. Howard is probably the most common guy at 12 if it's not a quarterback for the Browns there. He's the guy. But to your point, I'm not sure he's going to be there anymore. I would have thought it was funny when we started this. You were like, I want to take O.J. Howard at 12. Like,
I'm not
into
it.
It's grown on you. But it's amazing how it's changed. And now it's like, will he even be an option?
Because I think a month or so ago, there was a debate whether even Howard was going to be the first tight end because there was a lot of love for Njoku.
Which is kind of cool.
I still think he's going to be a first-round pick just because – but you're basing Njoku more on potential, whereas Howard is more of the sure thing.
Absolutely. So you got Jeremiah Casserly again, and do we have any other experts we're going to roll through here?
One more.
Our friends at CBS, Mr. Pete Prisco. Garrett and Hooker, sign me up. I would take that. Sign me up, and then Dane Brugler, Garrett, and O.J. Howard.
I just view this as completely unrealistic. I just think it's as much as Malik Hooker has been hurt by this injury, I don't think it's going to be enough to even get him out of the top five.
Needs and a wide receiver in the first round. We took Coleman last year. We took Lewis. We took Higgins. We took Peyton. And I think it's an interesting one to look at. Kenny Britt, we know where he is in his career. Not a long-term solution, but certainly can fill in. I still think for Hugh Jackson's offense to function, you need a third option in this passing game, and that's what they did not have last year. So whether it's a tight end or a receiver, I don't think it matters that much. I think you got to get him that third weapon.
I think if the Browns only had the 12th pick in this draft, I'd have a hard time stomaching taking the top wide receiver in the draft for a second straight year. But the fact that it's your second first-round pick, I think you go with best player available, and it's just lining up where one of those receivers is probably going to be the best player available.
Very well could be. I think a lot of intrigue. We are 20 days away. Hope everybody enjoys the Masters this weekend, and we'll get the Browns draft. 20 days, Gribbs. We kick it off. I can't wait.
It's coming soon.
It is.
It can't be here soon enough.
I can't wait till we're doing draft recap live as opposed to mock draft live. We've been doing it for a while. But thanks for being with us, and everybody enjoy your weekend.